we're looking here at this young nurse. Her last name, Pham or Fom. I haven't followed the story.
A lot of people not have neither.
A lot of people not have neither, huh?
Well...
But you just let us introduce the show, and we'll be fine, okay?
Now, this is the young lady. She's Ebola-free. Let me tell you something. She looks really good for having had Ebola. If that's how you look after you have Ebola, I'll make mine rare. You know, I mean...
Junk dummies.
What does that mean?
I mean, she looks fine.
She looks fine because she had very good care from the doctors and the nurses and the associated and affiliated medical people. They're applauding her. They're all wearing their white coats. They all have their doctors look so cool. You know, when you're sick, you want to see that guy in the white coat. Now, what's this guy wearing here, bud?
Well, he's got on a coat that says... It says... something, I don't know.
Well, it says something. We can't read it from here.
So the doctor who is speaking right now at the Ministry of Health... I don't know what it is, but the young lady was... what, Robert?
Well, I mean, you said it wasn't going to talk about no Ebola.
Well, we've got to talk about this, Robert. This is good news. Don't you think the good news is, you know, that she doesn't have it?
What about that guy that had Ebola with a hatchet?
He didn't have Ebola with a hatchet. Good God in heaven.
No, wait, Robert, hold on.
You didn't have Ebola with a hatchet. What are you, a knucklehead or something? A knucklehead? Hey!
Sit down, both of you guys, before I start swinging. What do you mean the guy had Ebola with a hatchet? The guy with the hatchet is completely different from the other guy with Ebola.
That guy had Ebola, though.
What guy had Ebola?
The guy with a hatchet?
You know, I'm getting up. I'm going to just take a walk. I'm going to walk around the studio here and walk. I'm going to walk that off and that off.
Stop talking about me. Yes, talking about you.
Both of you guys shut up.
God.
All right, so to begin again so that we've got accurate information on this here show... We had a hatchet attack. There was some guy attacked two police officers with a hatchet. It ain't funny either. Okay?
I would say one.
One of them's in a hospital in critical condition. Some asshole who just randomly attacked these cops. You know, I read about people, they say they don't like cops. I read about a lady here on Twitter. I actually retweeted something she said about this chick that's Kendall Jones. It's out... you know, hunting wild animals, General?
Well, you know, these are wannabe badasses hunting these beautiful creatures.
Anyway, she said something actually very funny. She said, Edmund Kemper would be happy to give you a ride home, honey, which I thought was very funny.
Oh, my sweet living God. Do you know who Edmund Kemper is?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Who's Edmund Kemper, Mr. Terry?
The guy was a serial murderer, and he put heads in the trunk of his car.
Yay!
Don't applaud that.
Sorry.
Yes, he did, and he is still in a psychiatric facility, as I believe he's at Atascadero.
Oh, the world-famous Atascadero, huh?
Yeah, the world-famous... Are you sure he's there?
I have no idea.
Well, we must know where he is. I don't want to be moving anywhere or be vacationing anywhere where Kemper is within 5 or 6 miles. I don't need that. I don't want it.
Well, wait a minute, man. You know...
You know, Phil, that was the phoniest laugh I ever go... I don't want to be near Edmund Kemper when I vacation.
Where are you going this winter? Don't you take a winter vacation?
Yes, I go fly fishing, and sometimes I go snow skiing. I take Patsy up to fly fishing, and then I go by myself snow skiing.
You go by yourself snow skiing?
No, it's different. I take Patsy snow skiing, and I go by myself fly fishing. I can get away from things. But some of my favorite fly fishing is right near that nut. I don't need it.
Well, we can double-check that, right, Bud?
Yes. I mean, Edmund Kemper, let me go into the database here.
Don't do that now. We can figure Edmund Kemper, you ain't gonna get attacked by Edmund Kemper, okay?
Hey, let me tell you something, my friend. I'm not worried for me, I'm worried for him. Oh!
Yay.
Good job. Okay. Well, General, I have no doubt that you could take care of yourself, but Edmund Kemper is well ensconced within the bowels of American jurisprudence and incarceration. That man has been remanded to for many years, right?
Well, Edmund Kemper, yes. Edmund Kemper was put away decades ago as the result of those crimes.
Right. Now, here's the thing. The lady that said that was on social media, and she said she didn't like cops. I read her profile, says, I don't like cops. I'm always amazed by those people. I'm always amazed. Anybody that says they don't like cops has obviously had a lot of really negative interaction with cops. There's no question. And they have decided that, therefore, they don't like cops. And that statement, of course, is one that, you know, people will say to me, well, there's a context there.
Well, why don't you spit it out, Phil?
What do you mean, spit it out?
Well, I'm talking about they don't like cops, they don't like cops. The context, what do you mean? Why don't you spit it out, man? Don't like that, man. You know something else? Hey, give me my new one, Randy.
Get off of him, Robert. Come on.
One more word out of this guy, man. I'll kick his ass, man. I won't talk about it. I'll do it. The light is green. Why you do it?
Hey, come on. I'm going to kick both you guys out of here. The light is green. All right. Shit, man. Too fucking early for this stuff.
I was going to say, I didn't want to say anything, but I was going to say something. And then I didn't want to say it, but I'm going to say it now. No, I don't want to say it.
Well, I was going to say something, but I didn't want to say anything, but I was going to say something myself.
Well, I'll say it. No, I don't want to say it.
What are you going to say?
I was going to say, clear these two knuckleheads out of here before I do something I regret.
Now, there you go, right there, right? I stand with that.
All right, okay. I'm assured by looking at the faces on these two nuts that everything's good, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Now, anyway, these two officers attacked by... I can't make that blanket. I don't like... I know that we need cops, you know. I know that there's cops. Some cops are badly trained. I know some cops should never be cops. I know that there's been police brutality. There has been police malfeasance and misfeasance. There's been all kinds of bad shit that these coppers have been engaged in. But I gotta say, we gotta have cops. Otherwise, we got nothing, man. You don't have cops, you ain't got shit, all right? Now, people that will continue on with their cop hate, even beyond the bounds of reason, I got real questions about what kind of people they are. Are they nuts? Are they just criminally motivated? What's the story there, you know?
But that guy that was stalking you online, right?
Yeah, the guy that was stalking me online and continues to stalk me online.
Well, now, are you going to talk about that?
No, but I'm just say one thing. That guy presents to the world the face of a conservative, God-loving guy, right? But behind the scenes, he's a criminal. He's basically just a criminal. And so he's, you know, I ain't going to say that I would never say what Bud said, that he's a typical conservative.
Yeah, a lot of the conservatives, they're the same way, man. They talk about how bitching they are and then they're criminal.
Well, this guy is. It's pretty funny, you know, but in any event... So you wonder what motivates people, right? The guy says, I don't like cops. Is this a criminal or is this somebody who really has serious reason to not like coppers to the point where, you know, what do you want to do, man? Change the whole dynamic, change the whole infrastructure of what the cop thing do, you know?
Thank you for that. Good. The grammar is marvelous this morning, Phil. There, how do you like that?
I think that was very unladylike.
Well, what the cop do, what do you call that?
That's not the same thing as belching.
It is a verbal, it is a grammatical belch. When Phil says, what the cop do, to my ears, it sounds as if he just brought up a real good ripper. I'm sorry. That wasn't very ladylike.
I'll say it wasn't.
Oh, is that right?
Okay. All right, what do you want to start with here?
Probably I'll start with this one. No, wait. Do this one.
Okay.
No, do this one.
Give me those. I'll do this one. Dallas nurse, Ebola-free, will be released. The Dallas nurse being treated for Ebola.
Was that her on TV a minute ago?
It was, yeah. She was very sweet, and she looked healthy, just like you were saying, General.
Well, yeah, what I was going to say is, for a woman that just had Ebola, she was filled out, beautiful figure, lush, ruby-red lips.
All right, do we have to hear that?
Sorry.
Why are you saying you're sorry? I'm sorry.
Right, but I'm just saying I'm sorry because I have to say that you're... Would you guys just shut up and forget about the lush ruby red... Oh, here she is on TV right now.
Matter of fact, she does have the ruby red lips.
She doesn't have ruby red lips. Oh, she's talking. That's Sanjay Gupta, who's... he's babbling on about something. Sanjay Gupta, he's got a kind of a line that he has to walk, the thin edge of a straight razor, you know, as Marlon Brando said in Apocalypse Now, you know?
No.
No, I don't remember that.
Anyway, he has to be a responsible medical guy, but at the same time, he has to sort of play to the editorial thrust of CNN and get kind of right up to the line of panic.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Gupta will come on there. By the way, his name is Gooba or something like that, isn't it?
No, it's Sanjay Gupta. Why do you guys intentionally butcher that?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, Sanjay Gupta or Gooba.
It's not Gooba, you clod. It's Gup. It's Goob. You fuck.
I didn't say anything wrong.
What do you want to kick his ass for?
Because he's messing me up.
Sanjay Gupta, look what you guys are doing to my fucking news. And by the way, the FanDuel now, we're late. This is supposed to be a pre-roll, you clown. All right.
Forgot all about that.
Well, I haven't forgot all about our very good friends at FanDuel.com. They're part of the sponsorship team that brings to you each and every day this here podcast thing. Yes, FanDuel.com. This is the revolution in fantasy sports and fantasy football. Frankly, it got me into playing fantasy football. I could have given a sweet you-know-what for fantasy football. I couldn't have cared whether it lived or died. Honest to God.
Yeah, this is the first time you've played it.
This is the first time I've been involved in fantasy football. You want to know why? Because with FanDuel.com, all you have to do is each week pick your team, pick a team defense, and go at it, baby. You have all of the players that you feel will do well for you. You have all of those things lined up. You pick the competition that you want to be involved in because FanDuel.com offers a variety of different ways to make yourself a couple of bucks and get involved in all of the fun. And the next thing you know, man, the football weekend is upon you. The 16, however many games, 16, 15, 14, depending upon who's got a bye, are upon you. And you may wind up making yourself some money. There have been guys that have kicked in 25, 30 bucks, and they've made 25, 30 grand over the course of a season. It's true at FanDuel.com. So all you do is go over to FanDuel.com, and you click on the button there in the upper right-hand corner. It's the microphone that says Hendry, H-E-N-D-R-I-E. That is your secret code. No one else knows that except all of the thousands of people listening to me right now. But other than that, no one else knows about it.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
Just, so you guys are my listeners, I have full faith and confidence in your ability to go to a website and click a button. I have full faith. A lot of people said, Phil, are you sure this is for your listeners? They're kind of slow. Some of them are kind of almost as dumb as you. And I said, well, that's a good point, because it took me a while to figure out just exactly what I wanted to do with my life. And anyway,
well, you get to the point here, will you?
Sorry. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com, click on that button, enter in the secret code, not so secret, H-E-N-D-R-I-E, and you're off and running, Jack, with FanDuel.com. Sign up, get an account, put your team together, and if you're good enough and you win cash. Now, the time is running out on that new user special. FanDuel.com will match your dollars up to 200 bucks, dollar for dollar, huh? Dollar for dollar.
Now, that's the best part about that for me. Yeah, me too. Able to do 200 bucks.
Right. So they'll do that for you at FanDuel.com. That's how much they want you to be involved in the great experience at FanDuel.com. It's F-A-N-D-U-E, F-A-N-D-U-E-L.com, F-A-N-D-U-E-L.com, FanDuel.com. Sign up today.
Masterminds.
Yeah.
We're going to get this fella.
Well, I think it's time we get over to time we get over here to Bob Bacon and traffic on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. What's the traffic looking at this morning, Bob, on this Friday morning?
Well, that's right, Phil. We got Friday as you can head out of town here on the Friday. On your commute, we got Halloween weekend coming up in the week, and that means we're going to be driving up a lot of ghouls and goblins, all the spooks and gooeys. Get out there with Dracula and Count Dracula, suck the blood right out of your neck. And I tell you what, talking about sucking the blood right out of your neck and sucking the blood right out of your life, as I got up this morning, my wife was hanging the beer. I said, I can't wait to get in that helicopter bed. As way I'm feeling this morning, I'd like to fly it right into the side of a mountain. Out here on the 210 freeway right now, we got a couple of people out here that are standing around, but they don't have cars. Gonna get people in cars down there. You gotta be in a car if you're on the 210 freeway. Bob Bakey in traffic.
Switch the benzo for the enzo. Back to the benzo.
Why we have that dead air, man?
I noticed that.
Because we changed the module on the fader.
What does that speak English?
I know what he means. We changed out we moved over to a new module. Thank you very much, bud. I appreciate that because that has enabled us to do whatever the hell it is that we're doing. All right, so we had a very serious event there in New York. On the line with me is, we got Jay Sanis, who is our security consultant. Jay, of course, is responsible. Oh, but we didn't make that announcement, Jay, and I think we should. I think congratulations to you.
Phil, we are very, very proud of you here at Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Jay Sanis and the Citizens Auxiliary Police have been named the official security for the world-famous Phil Hendry show. Just hold on, Margaret, okay?
I want to thank you for that, Phil, very much. We do appreciate it. And we'll do our very best to bring the quality and the know-how of the Citizens Auxiliary Police to your show.
Excuse me for a minute. What are you looking at, General?
What is that? Oh, I noticed the young lady in a pair of jeans with the...
Oh, can we turn the TV off?
She had on a pair of jeans and they... You know, wow, look at that.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
Do you want me to call back later or something?
No.
Sorry, Phil, I just... look, it's a Schwab account, and there she is with a spray-on jeans. Jesus H. Look, and I like that short haircut.
Can we turn this off?
All right, thank you.
All right, I could call back later on, Phil. That's probably what I want to do.
No. I've got everything. Where'd he go?
No.
What are you doing, General?
I'm sorry, but they put this chick's ass in my face this early in the morning.
No one put any ass in your face, General.
Oh, is that right? And you'd know that how?
Well, as far as I know this morning, no one did.
Well, excuse me, but, you know, what do you want from me?
I want you to pay attention to what's going on here, man, and not be looking up at the TV.
All right, well, okay, sorry.
Yeah, what kind of... I'm sorry, Mr. Henry, I had to do that, too.
You guys had to turn around and look at some chick's ass. Why?
It wasn't that good of an ass.
Are you kidding me? You'd get down on your knees for that, and you know it.
Hey!
I think this is very unlate... But there's Chris McHenry. Don't you like her better?
Yeah, I do.
Turn the TVs off.
Now, come on. Turn the TVs off.
Well, that was a real... Boy, what a dickhead to do something like that.
I don't like being called a dickhead, first of all, on the air, Margaret.
But, Phil...
I don't like being called a dickhead, first of all, on the air. Number two, I just had a guy hang up on me because you were busy looking at some chick's ass.
Then, like I said, Phil, why stick it in my face?
Nobody stuck it in your face! On account of the TV.
Well, you were looking at it, too.
Look, no one put it in your face. It's on television. And it's a commercial. And I don't know, it was a commercial for Charles Schwab. It wasn't even all that sexual of a commercial. It was just some girl in jeans. You know.
It was just some girl in jeans!
Phil, I'll tell you, you lose credibility. You lose a lot of female listeners every time you get excited.
Well, that is a good point, Phil.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh. How about Ashley Banfield? You like her?
No, I wouldn't go near that with your lips.
Okay, so,
Ed, look at you guys laughing. You disgust me. You disgust me.
Really?
Not really.
All right, get him back on the phone, will you? Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Thank you, Jay. I apologize. We got a little balled up.
I still want to have the Citizens Auxiliary Police be tainted, listening to you guys pulling on it. Yeah, you know, as we're trying to get our stuff together.
We're not pulling on it here, Jay, okay?
Yeah, I think that's a little bit overstepping it.
All right.
Jay, we had a situation in New York where we had two police officers attacked. What has been your experience since the whole jihad thing with the Citizens Auxiliary? One of these police officers in critical condition. And what has been your experience with this jihad thing?
Well, the first thing we're worried about, Phil, yes, we did get that news overnight. I came in this morning. I got a cup of coffee. Usually what I do is I wake up and I'll check my phone for any text messages. And I didn't see anything, but I found out when I got to the substation, which this week we're using Subcommander Ramos' house. His wife and kids are visiting their grandparent or his parent, his mother and father-in-law, little kid's grandparents. So he gets to use the house as a substation this weekend. So I drove over. I got myself a cup of coffee over at Dunkin' Donut. And I drove over, and by the way, folks, for people that are always on the law enforcement for staying at a Dunkin' Donut, I don't hang out at a donut shop. I got a cup of coffee, which is a lot different from going to get a dozen donuts.
Well, that's a very good point.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, well, it's still, you're going to be sitting there in the donut area.
Yeah, but I wasn't in the donut area to get donuts, is what I'm saying.
Right, exactly.
All right, so I then made my way over to Subcommander Greystone's house, I think it was. I forget who I said, but I just changed my mind. It's a different house. And
same reason why you were using it?
Yeah, same reason. The wife and kids are out of town. Boy, you're quick, Phil. That's very good. That's very good. That's what we call investigative. That's an investigative mind that you have. And I think that is something that needs to be pointed out.
Thank you.
Yeah,
well, so anyway, if you don't mind, Jay, this is General Shaw. You went to the substation Because you've gotten a text?
No, no, I did not get no text. I did go to the substation, and that's when I saw Sub-Commander Greystone, and he had been playing a video game, but immediately when I walked in, he put down the controls and said that, yes, he did monitor. And I said to him, playing a video game, I don't want people to think we're playing video games, but there is full disclosure and full transparency, and you can see through it. When I say full transparency, I'm not trying to say that you're looking through someone's underwear, but...
No, I know what you mean by that. So you got the text, and what did it say?
I did not get a text.
No, he didn't get a text. He had to drive over and get this guy off a video game.
No, ma'am, it's not like that. It's not like that.
Well, that's what you're saying, Jay.
Yeah, you're saying some guy was sitting there... playing a video game.
I said he was playing a video game, but he was also monitoring. See, I never should have said it. That's the whole thing with full transparency. People don't understand. If you're full transparency and you are operating from a standpoint of giving everybody a peekaboo and look, they can looking right through your you know, right through the back of your pants, and they can see the full transparency of it. They don't understand the context.
All right, well, give us the context, Jay. I understand. I think I know what you're saying, but go ahead. Give us the context.
When you're doing the overnight shift for the Citizens Auxiliary Police, hold on for a minute.
See, we're tiring him out, you know.
Well, I'm real broken up about that. I need you to be clear.
Hey, but hold on for a minute. Anyway.
Do you need a drink of water?
Yeah, probably get a drink of water, Mr. Santos.
Yeah, let me get a drink of water.
What, is that a cartoon voice or something? Is that a cartoon effect that you people do?
What do you mean?
What are you talking about?
Every guy that gets a drink of water in the show, it's all goop, goop, goop. Ah! What is that?
What? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't understand.
Forget it, Jesus.
Can I continue?
Go ahead.
So I looked at the test. There was no test. I said, what? He said, well, overnight we had Ebola. There was an Ebola on our subway. And I said, good God in heaven. He said that the Ebola was on a guy. That's what that said. When I said, when you say Ebola was on a subway, he said, yeah, it was on a guy.
Well, of course it's on a guy.
No, it could be just sitting on a seat. You know, like in other words, somebody just wiped it on a seat. Or they wiped it on a door. I said, where is it on a subway? Was it wiped on some? He said to me, well, if yeah, it was wiped on a guy. I said, you mean a guy's guy? He goes, yeah. And he said, and the beauty part, the guy's a docker. And I'm like, holy Jesus. So I said, this is a whole new ball game. So I immediately called up Dick Papard, who is part of the New York Simulated Police. You know, Phil, that's the Citizens Auxiliary Police in New York State.
Yeah.
And I said, Dick, what's it look like? And he said, yeah, it's a hatchet-wielding guy. And I said, does he have a bowler? He said, no, I haven't heard that. But they went ahead and put that on the wire, too. And
you got two different stories you're talking about, okay?
I'm sorry. Turn that TV down, will you, Jimmy? I'm going to come over there, and I'll hit you so hard, your head... Hold on, Phil. Jimmy, I'll hit you so hard, your head will go all the way around the world and then wind up back on your shoulders and go, wow, Dad, I think I was just in India. What? You hurt me. I'm sorry, Phil.
That was very violent.
Yes, Ms. Gray, but, you know, I'll talk to my children away. I won't talk to my children.
Well, it was very violent, though.
I'll talk to my children away. I won't talk to my children. You don't mind?
Fine.
So,
All right, so Jay, but I agree with Margaret. You said you're going to hit the kid's head so hard that it'll go all the way around the world, wind up back on a...
You find it funny for a man trying to chastise and make a kid do good? And you find it funny?
No, ma'am, I don't find it funny, but you said the kid's head's going to wind up back on the shoulder and go, gee, Dad, I think I was just in India.
Well, it's kind of a weird thing to say to a father after he just slugged you, but, you know, if the father slugged you, see, I want that punishment.
Okay, forget about how hard you hit the kid. So you're now talking about, there were two cases, Jay, and I think you've got them mixed up. The doctor with the Ebola was on a subway and had also been, I believe, in a cab. He went bowling. He then notified authorities, I believe, the next morning when he had a temperature of 103. He was a very sick guy. He is now hospitalized. That's case one. Overnight, we had two police officers, not overnight, but in the morning, we had two police officers attacked as they very graciously assented to having their pictures taken with tourists, these two officers, and they're attacked with a hatchet. And it's just unbelievable, and it's outrageous, and You know, we got you on the line here because we want to make sure that, you know, get a, you're not a police officer, you're the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Well, we take a peek over his shoulder is what we like to see, Phil.
All right, so in taking your peek over his shoulder, what do you think about these two real police officers that were attacked?
Well, I mean, you're trying to say that you're in that way, which, yes, I do feel bad about the police officers being attacked. I do. Honest to God, I do. But I also know that the way you just said that makes me look like I'm a bystander just standing there with a big sign in a window while the Today Show's going on and going, oh, hi, I'm Citizens Auxiliary Police. And I got a little bit of egg and cheese on my chin because I just was across the street over at Starbucks. And I'm going to go over and get tickets for a show tonight in that big Broadway thing. And
okay, man. I mean, where are you going with this?
Okay, man. Phil, I'm trying as desperately as I can.
Where are you going with this?
I'm trying desperately as I can to explain how Ebola is going to be treated by the Citizens Auxiliary Police. I'll tell you right now, we're not going to stand for it. Citizens Auxiliary Police has already come out and made a statement, we're not going to stand for it.
Okay, what about the two officers that were attacked?
Yeah, come on, Santos. That's what we're talking about.
The two officers that were attacked, we would not stand for that. If I was around when that took place, I would have taken that guy that did that, I would have rammed his head into the pavement. See, this one, all bets are off. People always ask us, do you have the right to detain? Do you have the right to search? Do you have the right? Guess what we got the right to do? If I see a two officers get attacked like that, I take the guy that did that, ram his head repeatedly into the pavement until he changes his entire worldview, until he becomes like a right-wing Republican, wears suits, and moves to a big house, right immediately after we pound his head in the pavement. Just, excuse me, I got to go put the money down in that big house. That's what we want. That's what we look for. Okay? Does that tell you enough?
Yeah, what you just described there is an imbecilic scenario that could not take place on this planet or any other.
Yeah, well, maybe not, but that's the kind of confidence we have in ourselves with the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
All right, let's get a phone call here, and I'm sorry, Jay, but bring this thing back to Earth. Let's go to Northern California. We have on the line here Dean Wheeler joining us. Dean, how are you?
Hi, Phil. Good morning. And good morning, Jay.
Good morning, Dean.
I'm not a big fan of the police. Phil has said that he'd like to know how it is that people are anti-police. I've had the police to my home a number of times, and I've been beaten very severely by the police.
Yes, but let's tell the whole story on that, Dean.
I'm about to tell the whole story.
You say you're beaten up by the police?
Yes. All right, the whole story is, I had assaulted my wife, I grabbed her by her hair, and I was dragging her out to our car. That's all I was doing. What happened...
You said that's all you're doing.
Yes, that's all but what happened was, when the police arrived, they hit me with a taser. When I came to, I naturally wasn't sure what was happening.
Go ahead.
I wasn't sure what was happening.
You're not sure what's happening right now.
Excuse me, but if anybody's getting a laugh this morning, I am. I wasn't sure what was happening.
God damn.
May I continue, Phil?
Go ahead.
I wasn't sure what was happening. So when I came to, I lunged at one of the police officers. They said I came at him relentlessly. They hit me with a taser. It didn't drop me. They hit me with another taser. Why? Because I was so outraged at having been tased in the first place.
Well, you were dragging your wife to a car. Now, let's be very, very clear here, Dean.
Yeah, I was dragging her by her hair. Does that equate to being tased twice?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, who was asking you? What I'm saying, Phil...
I think it does. You're assaulting your wife. You're dragging her to a car by her hair. And, by the way, is she rehearsing right now or something?
Yeah.
Okay, that's music I hear.
Yeah, that's what you guys hear. That's, but I'm trying to keep that separate. I got a new horn player, and everything has been going great. I got a saxophone player, and this guy knows what's up. Thank Christ, he knows what's up. We're going to do another number here in a minute. But what I'm trying to say to you, Phil, is this. My wife, yes, I was dragging her by her hair. The police arrived, tased me, I went down. When I came to, they tased me again, but I kept coming. One of the officers tased me again, but I kept on coming. He said I was staggering almost Frankenstein-like. I don't recall any of it. They screamed and dove into their police car, and that's when I lifted up the side of the car, and I turned it over, and it was at that particular time, that the people...
I know they're going to retire, the F-117.
All right, we've lost that line.
Yeah. Phil, I think what you have there is a case of a guy that is clearly...
I think he's drunk because they're rehearsing. I heard rehearsal, and I know that he hits the ball a long way this early in the morning.
All right, so he's drunk.
I would almost bet money on it.
Well, that's not exactly being convinced, you know.
Well, what do you think, General?
Yeah, he sounds hammered. He does.
All right. Well, I apologize for that, Jay. I guess Dean Wheeler is drunk when he was talking about coming at those cops.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised. We do have cases where individual will keep coming at you and keep coming at you, staggering Frankenstein-like, and you dive in a police car and you're screaming into a radio, "I need backup now, backup now." Guys now, you know, there's a guy who's busted in the window. There's a creature. Yeah, I don't mean to make it sound like some kind of a science fiction, but you have no idea. When you see a guy just staggering towards you, I had a guy one time for laughs say, "Friend," he was going this way, saying, he's going, "Friend, friend." And I go, "God damn, buddy, I just hit you with two, you know, tase shots." And he's all like, you know, "Soup good." And then he stopped. He goes, "I'm only kidding." I said, "Fuck." I said, "Man, I thought she's going to turn me over and have at me. Right up with a flower in it, you know."
All right, look, we don't need to know your interests, your social interests, or anything else.
What are you trying to say?
You know full well what I'm trying to say. You're just talking about a typical Friday night. We're asking you about your police action with regard to these guys who would come up with a hatchet.
I said it before, and I'll say it again. Okay, put and change my name. Ask me again, I'll say the same. Just like that old fairy tale. If a guy comes at the guy who's a cop with a hatchet, I'd ram his head so hard into the cement, he would become a new human being, put on a suit, and buy a big house. That's how I'm saying about that.
Okay, Jay, thank you very, very much, and we appreciate it.
You're welcome. Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police. Hold on for just a minute. Now we're out, Phil. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You see, when you bring that moron on this program...
Wait. He gives us the non-official law enforcement view. That's what I like about Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. So you heard him right there. There's only one way to deal with a guy like that, and that's, I agree with him. Ram his head into the cement. Well, what they did was they shot him.
Yeah, they shot and killed the guy. But what does Jay Santos think he's going to do? Reform this guy by ramming his head so repeatedly into the cement that he's going to buy a big house, put on a suit, put on a pork pie hat with a feather in it, and start selling insurance out of a briefcase? And I don't know.
Well, I mean, there's some guys that think that kind of thing can be done. I don't know. All right, we're going to be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with more. Forget it is October 29th that we have our World of Phil Henry Truth Is Our Bitch show at the Ontario Improv. Get tickets. Get thousands and billions of tickets. Come and see us. Come and say hello to us after the show. And then this next three-month period, we are ensconced with our writing team as we begin the development of a television show that we feel will be revolutionary.
Nigga, a law, and they rule I break. Fizz trying to watch moves I make. Every day I get birthday cake. Cause 100 racks, they in that safe. 100 grams, they on that plate. I ain't think about catch no case. Nigga, my safe house super safe. My zip to zip, cause I don't got no lace. Time for YSL, nigga, run tail. I'm fly.
Willie Jones Sporting Goods, with all of the things you need for these winter months. Do you like to go skiing? Do you like to go cross-country skiing? Do you like to house skate? Do you like to house skate? Do you like to house sit? Do you live in Arizona? None of that stuff's gonna be good for you. Willie Jones Sporting Goods. Willie Jones! Willie Jones Sporting Goods, south of Scottsdale.
In the Valley of the Sun. Fuck it all. Make your bitch
want to suck me off. We had shit, we learned the ball. God, will you listen to this? Is this guy 50 Cent?
Yeah.
Jesus. Every kind of filthy...
General, this is the new language. This is the new form of expression. This is 50 Cent. Better back up on me, bitch. Watch me ball.
Better back up on me, bitch, watch me ball. All right, Better back up on me, bitch, watch me ball. Other news. Tonight we have Game 3 of the World Series between the Kansas City Royals and the San Francisco, as they call the football gents. The San Francisco, although they're in San Francisco now. They're not in New York, so they ain't the gents no more. But that's an old one. That's really old.
Better talk about gents. That's the way they used to call them, right, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, that's the lingo at the time. When the Giants were in New York, Bud, did you know that?
The New York Giants?
No, no, not the football Giants. The baseball Giants.
They were in New York?
They were in New York from the late 1800s all the way to 1957, yes. And the New Yorkers called them the Gents.
Well, what's the difference between where they played and where the other ones played?
I don't know, man. The Giants played at the Polo Grounds. I have no... That's... Where the hell is the Polo Grounds? You know, Margaret?
Yes, it's in Upper Manhattan. And then the Yankees were in Bronx. Or in the Bronx.
The Brooklyn Dodgers were in Brooklyn.
Where's that?
Brooklyn's right across the East River from New York, from Manhattan. So... They had three baseball teams, and then the Giants and the Dodgers left. But anyway, they called them the Gents, you know.
Well, you're telling how they got the name the Giants because somebody came into the locker room one day and said, you guys are Giants.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Right, what kind of a dumb thing? Well, they didn't have no teams then.
What do you mean they didn't have teams?
Well, I mean, they didn't have names.
Yeah, they didn't have a lot of nicknames. They didn't do the nickname thing until the turn of the 21st century. Up to that point, it's kind of like the, you ever watch English soccer, the Premier League? They have informal nicknames, you know, the Eagles, the Reds, the Red Devils, the Blues. There's a couple of Blues, man. There's the Chelsea Blues, there's the Everton Blues, but who are also the Toffees, you know?
What is a Toffee?
Well, it's like a candy, right?
Yeah, but that they don't mean it in that sense.
We're talking about the Toffee.
Anyway, what I'm trying to say is there's no official nickname. So the baseball teams, so the Giants was just something that they called them. They used to call them by the league they were in. Like the New York Yankees used to be called the New York Americans.
Now, this is interesting. This is how they got the name Yankee.
Yeah, this is how they got the name Yankee, because they're the New York Americans.
Why?
Because they were in the American League. They were in the American League, man. You know the Yankees in the American League, right?
Yeah, but they're called the Yankees.
They were called the Yankees because they were in the American League.
Well, Phil, what are you getting all flipped out for?
Because this guy's pissing me off. Every time I say something simple, man, you got this...
I don't understand what you're saying. You don't have to yell at me.
No, but then it's kind of tough.
Oh, it's real tough, yeah. Bud, I'm not buying it, man. You sell that bullshit to somebody else. I know your brain works fine. You like to go dumb on things just so you can get a little extra attention. You're like a lot of these people, man, Munchausen syndrome?
My God, what are you, nuts or something, man? I got the Munch syndrome. Shit.
The Munchausen syndrome.
Well, the only thing I got is the Munch syndrome, man.
You filthy, you're talking about eating pussy.
Hey!
Kick his ass.
God damn, Dickman, don't you have any dignity? Don't you have any decency?
No.
All right. Okay, thank you. The New York Yankees were the New York Americans. The New York Americans were the American League team. So they called them Yankees. Now, before they came to New York, where were they?
What?
Before the Yankees, who were the New York Americans, came to New York, what city were they in?
Oh, is this a trick question, huh?
Oh, wait a minute. I know. The St. Louis Browns.
No. Yeah, you said it was St. Louis Browns other time.
No, I did not say. I said it was the St. Louis Browns or the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah, the Baltimore Orioles was the St. Louis Browns.
I ain't talking about the St. Louis Browns anymore. I'm talking about the New York Yankees. Where were they before they moved to New York?
They were in Providence, Rhode Island.
No, they were in Baltimore.
That's where the St. Louis Browns was. Yeah.
Okay, now hold on, because this is what you guys do.
No, Phil, you're the one doing this. You said that the Browns were, that the Baltimore Orioles were the St. Louis Browns.
Yes.
So then they moved to New York.
No, they did not. No, they didn't.
Then what are you talking about?
What I'm telling you is two completely different periods of time. I'm talking way, way back at the beginning of the 20th century and the end of the 19th century. There was a team in Baltimore. Okay?
And what were they called?
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, they were the Baltimore Orioles, weren't they?
No, I don't know what they were called. Maybe they were the Orioles. Maybe they weren't. Okay?
Maybe they were the Orioles. Maybe they weren't. Phil, you talk like that one guy at the track that day who went $880 day to double. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
I walked by this guy, General. You got to hear this story, Bud. Robert, put that down. Anyway, I walked...
Well, can we stick to the point here?
Why?
I was with you that day at the track, and there was a guy who went $880 day to double, and Margaret was all flipping out over the whole alliterative thing of $880 day to double.
Well, no, he didn't go 800. He did it very, very smooth. It was just wonderful. It was an eight. First of all, when's the last time you heard about an $880 day to double?
Margaret, would you quit trying to... I don't know. I don't know anything about... What year was it?
It was the early 80s.
Holy shit, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, it was a big daily double, so what about it?
Well, forget it then. God.
So what, you know? What are you talking about?
It did connect to something, Phil, but you're yelling at me and I don't know. Now, here's New York City. In New York, fully prepared to handle Ebola.
Talk about New York Yankees.
I'm not talking about the New York Yankees having Ebola, okay, man? All I'm telling you, and I never should have brought it up, the New York Yankees came from Baltimore. They used to be the Baltimore franchise. They moved to New York, and they became the New York Highlanders because they were on a street, I think, called Highland Street, the original baseball stadium for the New York Highlanders, who had just arrived from Baltimore, was either on Highland Avenue or was in a part of Upper Manhattan that was known as the Highlands. I don't know. And I think it was there that they built the Polo Grounds. But in any event...
Why they call it the Polo Grounds? Why?
Yeah, they played polo there.
I think they did actually play polo. If you look at an aerial shot of the old Polo Grounds, it looks like this big, gigantic polo field. Did they ever actually have a polo game there? I don't know, but... huge, you know.
Why do they need such a big stadium for that? I guess polo was big at one time.
Polo must have been huge in New York at one time, you know.
Wait a minute. That sounds all balled up. That sounds like you guys are reading something into it that you shouldn't read into it.
No, it stands to reason, man. They got a polo field that size.
Look, if you got a polo stadium that's that huge, polo must have been fantastic at one time. It must have been New York's favorite sport. Look at the size of that stadium.
Get out of here. I refuse to believe that.
Okay, fine. Refuse to believe it. It looks like a polo field to me. If you look at the aerial shot, and then at the very end, you see those kind of little grandstands and those little scoreboards that those polo fields and those cricket fields have, you know? Cricket fields are really big, too. And it looks exactly like a place where a bunch of rich people would sit and watch their GD polo ponies prancing about. And at some point, they stuck the baseball teams there.
Did you ever see a game there?
I actually saw a televised football game when I was a kid. I was only about 8 or 9 years old. I was watching a football game on Thanksgiving Day with my dad, and it was one of the early AFL games, and I think it was the New York Titans, the New York Jets, at the Polo Grounds. And all I remember about this game was that it was bitterly cold because the guys were in ski caps, the snow was coming down, and, you know, the football game was on. But that's the only game I ever saw.
Well, what did it look like? Did it look cavernous?
Kind of, yeah. It looked like... Those early games, whenever you saw a game from like Municipal Stadium in Cleveland was the same. Just you could tell that it was an enormous grandstand, and generally they were playing on a baseball dirt field.
Why didn't they put grass there? What was that? Because the time of year was still baseball.
Yeah, because the you got used to when you watched football in those days. Between, say, September and October, you would see the dirt of the baseball stadium still there. So these guys are playing football. And that became a factor. It was difficult to... A lot of the running backs didn't like the footing. Offensive linemen didn't like the footing. It was difficult to... when you got that close to run the ball sometimes. And especially if it was cold, if that dirt became frozen on top, what happened was you got this layer of frozen dirt.
What?
What are you looking at, Bud?
But he's sitting there, ladies, and you don't see it. Bud is sitting there going, you're looking like you look like the mad ghoul.
I'm listening to what Mr. Henry said. I don't understand what he's talking about with the frozen of the thin layer.
He's talking about the thin layer of dirt. You don't have to sit there, Dickman, all bug-eyed, looking like you're ready to come through the glass like you're Peter Lorre, who just juiced up. Can you imagine Peter Lorre juiced up? That's what Bud looked like.
All right, okay. Bud, I mean, I guess it's fascinating, huh?
Yeah, it's very interesting, but God, man. Talk about a thin layer of dirt. When a thin layer of dirt gets frozen, man.
Yeah, if you're talking about a baseball stadium and you've got dirt, okay, and it's cold as hell, the top of that dirt will freeze up, but underneath that dirt is still loose, warm dirt.
Well, now it sounds, you know.
I know what he's going to say.
I didn't say it.
You were going to say it. Sounds like a bowel movement. I'm going
to... Hey, I didn't say it.
Come on.
That's just to remind you.
Sounds like a bowel movement.
Well, when you say it's loose and warm.
Well, you know something? You know, Dickman, this fist has seen it all, and it's coming your way.
I just said, you know. Yeah, well, shut up, man.
So that top layer of dirt is frozen, but underneath is that loose dirt. When the running back hits it, man, his feet go out from underneath him because that frozen dirt gets broken up immediately by the weight of all of those cleats. And so it was very tough navigating, and you would see very interesting eventualities, my boy, when you watch them there games. We'll be right back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Have you got a backstage pass? Margaret, do you have one?
I do, yes.
Everyone here has one?
Well, you gave me mine for free.
What?
Well, some people pay and some people play. You know, that's all I can tell you. Do you have a backstage pass? Well, if you do, then you have access to all of the very finest that the Phil Hendry Show has to offer. That's right. You have over 10,000, 15,000 hours of audio. The greatest radio shows in the history of mortal man on this planet are there. Go ahead, ask around. Ask your friends. Ask your mom. Ask your dad. Ask Howard Stern. Ask Glenn Beck. That's right. Ask the people that have come to watch our show over the years. Then ask me, and I'll tell you, it's well worth the money.
Well, your BSP is for free.
Well, yeah, it's free because I own the damn thing. So anyway, get over, get a backstage pass, watch our video casts of each and every show, and our Saturday BSP only show. That's right. We'll be right back.
Every time you
look, oh my God, I love this. All the life. Oh my God, how I love Steve Perry. Isn't this wonderful?
Who's this guy?
You know it's true.
Shut up! It sounds scary.
Oh, Bill Murray, you're gonna see this movie, Phil?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm gonna see the Bill Murray movie. I'm gonna see the new Michael Keaton movie for sure.
Well, that Keaton movie looks interesting.
Michael Keaton in Birdman, Bill Murray in St. Vincent. Looks good, man.
Played essentially the same character?
No, I do not. No, I don't. I mean, a lot of people have knocked Bill Murray for that, but yeah, let me tell you something. Clint Eastwood's played essentially the same character. Not exactly, but he plays the attitude. He's sort of, he's a guy that we can see the world through his eyes. You know, Clint Eastwood, Bill Murray is another guy that we see the world through his eyes. But no, I don't think they're all the same character.
Well, but they're the same. They are the same character, right?
No, they're not. I just got done saying, no, I don't think they're all the same character, you know? Turn this shit off. I'm kidding. I'm joking. I'm just kidding.
God, you don't even like Aerosmith or nothing.
I'm kidding.
I did this on stage at the third annual recitals. You know those, Phil, the Southern California recitals?
I do not, no.
You don't?
No.
Well, they're at the Santa Monica what? Where have you been?
I don't know those.
Ms. Greenwood, I don't know about them.
Well, anyone that knows singing has been to the Southern California recitals, and they're held every year at the Santa Monica Civic, and I did this song. I know nobody knows where it comes and where it goes. Woo-hoo, woo-hoo. What are you looking at?
Nothing. I mean, we're...
Nothing. See, ladies and gentlemen, this is what I put up with every morning. Pardon me, I it's not that I really want to leave, but I do feel
a bowel movement coming on.
Yes, after I am humiliated, generally I do. I know nobody knows.
Okay, thanks, Margaret.
Yeah.
So this scumbag that attacked these police officers with a hatchet was shot and killed, as well he should have been, so that's the end of that romance. Now we have coming up this evening, it's Game 3 of the World Series, the Kansas City Royals. And, brother, it's going to be a very, very interesting situation. On the line with us here from San Francisco this morning is our own Richie Bougainvillea to talk about Game 3 and how this series has turned almost on a dime. And it's, as Adam Gilmore wrote, and as we were quoting yesterday, Richie, we got a series now.
Absolutely, we have a series, and we've got a series that's going to be featuring, again, these very top-flight pitchers who are being put under an awful lot of pressure. You know, you see the San Francisco Giants, and as someone said, they were radically deflated in game number 2 at Kauffman Stadium. When you watch the Giants come apart emotionally, assaulted by a fabulous display offensively by the Kansas City Royals, and then, of course, the emotion of the crowd, and watching their own pitching staff becoming frayed at the edges and not being not up to the task in the late going, when the pressure was on, and I spoke to Snooky Johnson. Snooky is a longtime observer of San Francisco Giant baseball. I talked to him over at Johnny's at the steakhouse earlier, and Snooky was telling me what he felt the Giants needed to do here in game number 3. Well, Bob? I don't know, but I think that what the Giants got to do is they probably, you've got to get a better performance out of their starting pitcher. You know, I've been San Francisco Giants fan for years. I've never seen them come apart at the seams like this. Well, I think that, hold on for a minute, because I've been telling you a long time, Richie, and we've got to keep your eye on the ball here. The Giants got out there, they got to get some pitching, they got to get some hitting, they got to get everything that they need, you know. But I think it all went to hell in a handcart, you know, when they left Candlestick Park. I think Candlestick Park is a big thing, but I'm up to got the thing. You know what I'm saying? But that, to me, that's not it. So that was just one attitude of many that I'm hearing here in San Francisco, Phil.
I couldn't understand a thing that guy was saying.
Me neither.
Well, it doesn't matter, because basically what he said was that...
I want in on this. What did that man say?
Margaret, you want in on this.
Yes, I do. I want in on this, Richie.
All right, I'm going to put you in on it, okay? I'll put your face right in the crotch of it.
I suppose that's my fault.
He had a soundbite that didn't go very well, okay?
Yeah, is that my fault?
Hold on. He had a soundbite that didn't go very well, so when we came back from that, he wanted to just kind of get going, and at the very wrong moment, you jumped in and started, talking.
I wanted in on it.
Yes, we know you wanted in on it, Margaret. A minute ago, you're sitting on a toilet. A minute ago, you had your underwear down around your ankles, reading the sporting news, and now you want in on it.
I wasn't reading this. All right, I was reading the sporting news, but you make it sound like I'm some kind of a
bull dyke.
Pardon me.
Your underwear's still around your ankles?
It is, Margaret.
God damn it.
Come waddling out of there.
Well, I wanted in on it. How do you like that? She wants in on it so bad she comes...
You know, you don't have to keep playing it back, General.
I want to. She comes in here with her underwear still around her ankles, comes waddling in, and then, you know, this guy, Bougainvillea...
Yeah, well, I got Richie Bougainvillea on the line. He's back. If you want to talk to him.
Yeah, I do. Richie, apologize for that, okay? Let's just continue.
Right, because it's going to be a long day. I got to get out to the ballpark. They're having a press conference here in a couple of minutes. Making a long story short, the Giants are going to be back at home. They're going to be in front of their home crowd. I expect that the Giants will be looking to make a statement. And guess what? What's the team they're playing?
Kansas City.
Oh, the Kansas City Royals. I'm sorry. Like I said, I've got jet lag between here and Kansas City. A lot of people get jet lag between here and, let's say, Europe or Africa or China. I get jet lag if I drive my car over the Bay Bridge to pick up a cruller. And I'm not jet lagged. I'm car lagged. You know?
Thanks a lot.
No, come on, Phil. Don't hang up.
All right, thanks very, very much to all of our... This has just been one of those weeks, you know?
Well, I mean, what?
We're going to split. We got work to do, man. I got all kinds of shit I got to do, okay?
Oh, sorry.
We're going out. We've got to go back into L.A. again today. We got to do bills today, you know, and then tomorrow night is our Drunk History with a Drunk History appearance there at the Festival Supreme with our good friend Derek Waters. That'll be fun. We'll be seeing some of the other people that have narrated on the show. I will be there. Then on the 29th of October, it is our World of Phil Henry Truth is Our Bitch at the Ontario Improv. Get your tickets because it will be the last of our live shows for just a few weeks. I'm thinking, you know, a couple, 3 months because we're going to be up to our noses in another project. We would like you, and I will be keeping you guys updated on that. Those of you that are Backstage Pass members, I'll be keeping you updated on that each and every day by way of our pre-show and our Saturday show. Join us tomorrow for our Saturday show. It'll be part 3 of our audio biography. Basically, I'm telling the life story of Phil Henry, and we're doing it on our BSP-only show on Saturdays. So if you have a Backstage Pass, listen in. Also, with the Backstage Pass, you can hear it on demand. You don't have to be... in fact, we don't do the show live on Saturdays. It is on demand exclusively. So there's no live feed of it. And occasionally, this is really the reality of how we do our show, folks. We're going to have a show every day for you, but some days it is not a live streaming show because we are simply not able to be in the studio to do that. As we get done with this next three-month period, then we will begin to do... I thought we would be in Hawaii this month. It ain't going to happen. There's too much to do. Probably after the first of the year.
All right. So you will be doing remotes from Hawaii. People were asking about that.
Yes. I'd love to be able to take a pair of listeners with us, you know.
Well, people would go out of their skins for that one, Phil.
Well, I mean, you know, we'll see what we can do. But we will begin to do that. And also, the redesign of our website. Good Lord Almighty, this is going to be a beautiful thing. Wait till you see this. We are completely redesigning the website. This will be our third redesign of the site. You have to do this every now and again. We've got a great new developer, and we're going to have fantastic new features, including a chat feature. That's right. That's right. Now, a lot of this stuff will be obviously, you know, what do they call it when they test it out?
Talk about it, beta.
Is that what it's called, beta?
Yeah.
All right, so a lot of it will be beta tested, but it will eventually become very much a part of our website, and I mean very, very shortly, so don't worry. It's not going to take forever. But and we want you to be a part of it as well, so get that backstage pass at philhenryshow.com. $9.99 a month, man.
Just like the $880 day double.
Margaret, quit trying to make everybody be impressed with how you can talk like a, you know, a rail bird.
What is a rail bird?
A guy that hangs around the rail.
Hangs around the rail of what?
Around the rail of a racetrack.
Well, then say it, will you? It sounds filthy.
What?
It sounds like a guy that's hanging around a bathroom stall.
Oh, no, no, no. It's a rail bird is a guy that hangs around the general admission. He's on the rail as he watches the... All right, so yeah, $880 day to double, but also $9.99 a month. So if you win your $880 day to double, you can, for $9.99 a month, get a backstage pass, or else you can get them by the 6 month or by the year, and also audio only or all access, which is our video cast as well as our audio cast, so you can dig it, you can groove with that thing, you know? I mean, you're all over that, you know?
Yeah.
So whatever you want to do, whoever you are, whatever you are, and whyever you're here, make sure y'all get that marvelous backstage pass to the Phil Henry Show website. Does that about clean that up, bud? What else we got?
Well, let's see. You got, You wouldn't want to put the coffee there, man.
Ow. What'd you do?
Put my elbow in hot coffee.
Put your elbow in hot coffee. All right. Yeah, F is for family.
Yeah, I forgot. F is for family, and you can go to Kabook It and everything.
Well, we'll have the Kabook It. What do you mean, Kabook It?
That's the booking announcement.
Right. So our management announced the and the big star of the show is Bill Burr, a great guy, and we're very, very grateful to be working with Bill. Everybody on the cast is tremendous, but yes, we are a part of the new Bill Burr show. It's called F is for Family, starring Bill Burr, Laura Dern, Justin Long, myself, Mo Collins, Kevin Farley, and others. Lots of fun and. I just enjoy it. We just did our record this week. Tremendous Netflix, so catch that, baby. If you got Netflix, and I know you all do, check it out. World-famous Phil Henry Show, so we'll see you tomorrow for our BSP-only Saturday show.
Yes, and that is part three of Phil's biography, his audio biography, which I'm sure is interesting to a lot of you. I mean, I've known people that have lived really interesting lives, but
So my life is whatever it is, you know. World famous Phil Henry Show. We'll see you guys for our BSP only show and then a Monday, and see you at the Drunk History presentation there at the Festival Supreme on Saturday night. And otherwise, love you. Have a great weekend. Here is In This Moment, Big Bad Wolf.
Even in this change, you can stop me.
World famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on the Sideshow Network. I'm General Galen Shaw. Don't make a move toward me. That's it. Just keep your distance. Stand your ground.
Even in these chains, you can't stop me. Becoming my own worst enemy. You see this ego tear?
things you can't stop me. Even in these chains you can't stop me.
There's that, what's her name, Con? How come her breasts are smaller today?
Get out of here, will you?
Even in these chains, you won't break me. Even in these chains, you won't stop me.